Welcome to Our Daily Portion with WIT Ministries. I'm Matt Russell, and I'm the director of WIT Ministries. And at Walking in Truth Ministries, we want to help people to be able to live a more God-centered, God-focused life and in every aspect of their life. So the purpose for this podcast is for us to really strengthen our biblical discipline of reading the Bible. So I'm going to read a scripture every day where I'm going to share a nugget about that scripture, and then I'm going to say a little prayer at the end, and that will be the entirety of our episodes for this podcast. Please feel free to check us out at walkingintruthministries.org, or you can also check out our other podcast, which is Living the WIT Life with Walking in Truth Ministries. I hope that this podcast blesses you as much as it blesses me, and let's go ahead and get started with our daily portion.
Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu is a ministry, it's events, and it's a podcast, all focused on building community and fellowship around Jesus and great Jiu-Jitsu. We were birthed from a Walking in Truth event called Pursuit. Four of us left one of these men's pursuits, and the Lord all gave us the same download to create Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu. We've started by doing local events in North Texas. We're slowly but surely expanding those events to other markets across the country, where we bring in professors and instructors. We learn awesome jiu-jitsu techniques. We hear a testimony about the gospel. We give away free Bibles. We offer prayer, and then we train hard. On top of this, we have a podcast that has really taken off that we have a lot of fun with. Look us up on all platforms. We love Walking in Truth, and we appreciate the affiliation with them and the covering that they give us. Thank you to all the leaders at Walking in Truth. Everyone at Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu is truly appreciative.
First Corinthians 12, the use of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one body member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. I want to start just with 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Paul is telling them, you need to desire to have these gifts. This isn't something that just you, that'd be nice. I'd hope for that. That'd be cool. You know, you can't have that kind of passive attitude with this. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. He's saying, your way is good. The way is good. Following Jesus Christ is good. He's not saying that this is more important than salvation. And unfortunately, when you're talking about this subject right here, this causes more division in churches, unfortunately, but in the faith, more division in the body than any other subject. And there are some who believe that the spiritual gifts, there's no such thing. Well, then this is a big, massive, wasted chapter in the Bible. Others believe that, well, that was just for the first century or up until, you know, we really established the fullness of the Bible, or, you know, that it was there at one point and it disappeared. And I would then tell you again, this is a big waste of scripture. And God's intentional in everything. And unless he just needs to let us know, just to take this out. Plus, here's another point to the here it was and then it disappeared concept. Not one place in the Bible does it talk about that. You can try to take scriptures and make it say something along those lines, but nowhere in the Bible does God say, I'm the same yesterday, today, but at some point I'm going to change, but I'm not going to let you know, and it's going to be completely different for the future. Nowhere in there does it say that. In fact, God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I do not change. So the things that God has for yesterday, the things that God has for today, and the things that God has for tomorrow are the same. So he did not make some offices of ministry and get rid of them without telling us. And he did not set up the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit and then get rid of them without telling us. And Paul is saying, you know, in this path, it is a phenomenal path to be a follower of Christ. But you need to pursue, you need to earnestly desire, chase after, pray for, study, ask, pray to receive, or pray that the Holy Spirit would manifest his spiritual gifts through you, because that's a more excellent way. Not that the other is a worse way. This is it's more empowerment to do what God's calling us to do. So, obviously, I do believe in the spiritual gifts, but there's a few things that we need to understand about the spiritual gifts. One, I don't own the spiritual gifts. I don't own the gift of knowledge. The Holy Spirit owns the spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit utilizes us as vessels to manifest His spiritual gifts through. So when someone says, I have the gift of whatever it is, it's not their gift. Now, this is the confusing part, because there are other places in the Bible where God, the Father, has gifts. And there's places where Jesus, the Son, has gifts to give us. Those are different. There is the gift of prophecy from the Father. There is the office of prophecy, which that person is a gift. And then there's the Holy Spirit gift of prophecy. They're different. They are treated differently. If someone has prophesied, that does not make them a prophet. The gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting through someone does not make them that gift. Now, God does give the gift of discerning of spirits. That is owned by that person. But if the Holy Spirit is given the gift of discerning of spirits, that means that that person is more, they've been used before and they may be used again. You exercise those gifts and you will be more readily available when Holy Spirit needs you. So we desire the gifts. One of the things that causes some of the biggest division, I'll touch on really quickly, is the church decided at one point that the evidence, and the only evidence, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit or in evidence that someone is ready as a vessel to be used by the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts. Whenever the church in the early 1900s discussed it, they decided that, and it caused great division, the only sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is the most confused, twisted, and misused, misunderstood of the gifts. So the only manifestation is that someone would be speaking in tongues. Well, that caused many churches to focus more on baptism in the Holy Spirit than on salvation, which is not right. Salvation is first. But there are churches that will make a bigger deal about someone in their youth coming down and receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit than they do the same youth when they receive salvation. And that's wrong. And that's not of God. God, the entire heavens celebrate the salvation. And we need to know how serious that is. But when it comes to the church and determining that the evidence is speaking in tongues, they're misleading. The evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit would be any of these gifts manifesting through you. The most obvious one would be speaking in tongues, because that's something that we would see is completely different than anything else, or a healing. But speaking in tongues is the most obvious evidence. Therefore, the church adopted that that is the only evidence. And that's not true. That is not true, because some people are prophesying and they're not speaking in tongues. Some people are discerners of spirits and they're not speaking in tongues. So you're discrediting part of the body because you're looking for one specific member. We're supposed to pursue all the gifts. We're supposed to pursue them, but that doesn't mean that Holy Spirit's going to utilize all those gifts through an individual. Doesn't mean all of a sudden they become the superhero. means that they are readily available for the Holy Spirit to manifest his gifts through them when he needs. So, the speaking in tongues, last bit on that. There are two different versions of the speaking in tongues, and they use the same definition and phrase to describe both. Paul talks about each of them separately. We have combined them to be the same. First of all, we refer to Acts 2:4, and there it says that they all began to speak in a different language or in a different tongue. And that is speaking in tongues. But there were many different nationalities that were present there in that room. There were many nationalities that were present in that area of influence. And so when the Holy Spirit fell on them, they began to speak in languages they personally did not understand. But the need for the interpreter was that there's someone there who does speak that language. Therefore, if I, not ever being able to speak Greek, began speaking Greek, the person who speaks Greek understands me. That is one version of speaking in a different language or speaking in tongues. The other is your spiritual tongue. Speaking in a spiritual tongue. That does not need an interpreter. That will not be for the crowd. Speaking in your spiritual tongue is a prayer language that's between you and the Holy Spirit. Whenever a pastor comes out front and speaks for a minute and a half in tongues, he's edifying himself. And that's not glorifying to God. I do not like that. That's not what is intended for. But if a pastor is preaching and then just goes into speaking in tongues for a moment and then continues preaching, I have no problem with that because he's not doing it to glorify himself or as a show. He is doing it because he's having a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is bringing some knowledge to him or some understanding that he's about to preach. I completely understand that. But otherwise, I believe it's putting more of a glorification on baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it is showboating the person who's doing it. When someone's singing worship and they begin singing in tongues, that's between them and the Holy Spirit. We as a congregation don't need to hear it. But there are people who get louder so that you can hear them speaking in tongues. That's not to glorify God. So, anyways, those are both speaking in tongues. And they get lumped into one bucket, and everybody then just says, no such thing. It's done. There has to be an interpreter. That's all a lie. That's fake. Paul said, last point, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Apostles and prophets are very necessary for ministry, even today. And the spiritual gifts are an empowerment that is given to us for battle. So, if you were the enemy, wouldn't your desire be to take away the power of your adversary? That should shine a light as to why the church today is so divided on those two subjects and why people believe it's no longer a thing. Because the enemy is trying to weaken us and take away power that God has given to us as a gift. So, Father, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for empowering us and giving us the ability as well as the desire to come alongside you in this spiritual battle. And, Father, I just pray that those that you call can hear the calling and that we can have eyes to see and ears to hear. That we would be at the ready when the time comes, because spiritual warfare is real and it is at all times. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you concerned about what the future holds? Are you confident that the retirement plans that you have today will still be secure tomorrow? Let us help you by clearing up the uncertainty. This is Matt Russell, the director of WIT Ministries. Many of us at Walking in Truth Ministries are bivocational, working in our ministry as well as in the financial services industry at Win Big Financial Group. We help people to build a tax-free and risk-free retirement. Give me a call at 817-903-2575 to support our ministry and to secure your family's financial future. Again, call today at 817-903-2575. Thank you and God bless. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope that that blesses you either as an individual or with you and your other loved ones. Maybe this is something that you're utilizing to spend with your family some time around God's Word, and of course, that is great. I love that, and I'd love to hear how the Daily Portion podcast is blessing you. If you would, just go to our website at walkingintruthministries.org. And go on there and just drop us a little note about this podcast or one of our other podcasts, or even just check out the events that we have available. But again, thank you very much and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow as we dig into our daily portion with WIT Ministries. God bless.